couple of fair or fouls right out of the gate here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Hope you're getting ready for a great, relaxing weekend. Perhaps you have 3 or even 4 days off. It is really the symbolic beginning of the summer. That's two cups of coffee speaking. When we hit Memorial Day weekend, I wonder how many people are going to be traveling. I guess the good news is that the cost of petrol, gasoline, has gone down. So while we were all squealing, 4+ was crazy. Now it's dipped in the opposite direction, and we can't help it. Whatever's in front of us, that's what we're looking at. And then if it goes back up again, then we all get hysterical. And then it goes back down again. There are a couple sacred cows. One of them is gas prices in the United States. Sorry to all the people listening in England for the amount that you have to pay, but we don't want to pay what you pay. $6-7 if we were to translate your system to our system, no. I never hope to pull up and have to pay $7 for a gallon of gasoline. And I think more this country would have so much balking over that politicians definitely know that they are not electable if gasoline, and that's a high water mark, and if jobs go to a certain level, forget about it. You know, if you're in double digits, I think that would automatically tank you from being president. We're teetering on that. In fact, I think we're really in double digits, but technically it's 8 and change. That's the unemployment number, so that keeps the administration kind of keeping the unemployment numbers at bay, if you will. I meant to say this on a previous show, especially because a lot of people where our mini studio is located have talked about it, but there's a pizza parlor that is having a huge giveaway. And you say, so what? I mean, you turn on the tube and Papa John's and Domino's and, you know, probably your pizza joint down the street, they're giving you a free topping or two. But how about this? It's a Dallas-based pizza company called Pizza Patron, and they actually have 104 stores around the country. They're going to give away 80,000 large pepperoni pizzas on June 5th. You know where they're going to give you the pizzas? This is how you can get the pizza. If you order in Spanish. So if you call up and you order in Spanish, you get a free pizza. I don't know. There's a guy who's the chairman of the conservative caucus who says, I resent that. It seems that you're punishing people who can't speak Spanish. But critics aren't limited to just this one conservative caucus chair. There are people from the Hispanic community who are upset. There was the president of the Hispanic Marketing Group in Nashville, a guy named Marcela Gomez, was not happy either, saying maybe they thought it was a cute thing to do, but I think it's discrimination. Now, Pizza Patron says 70% of the company's customer base is Spanish-speaking, and they're trying to reach out to their target market. It's a way, they say, to honor the positive force of change immigrants have made in communities throughout America. So check it out. They're going to give away these pizzas from 5 to 8 o'clock, one per customer. You have to order in Spanish. Here's the thing. I'm mentioning it on a national show. They are branding themselves. They do not care what anyone thinks. It's a way to create buzz, and I think it has nothing to do with the other. Oh, we're trying to do a positive thing for the Latino community. Baloney. They're trying to get their name out there, and they're probably psyched beyond belief that people are talking about it. Pretty soon, when you go to a French restaurant and an Italian restaurant, you're going to have to order in Italian or order in French, which means most of us will be eating in. Switching gears and going from this branding thing and pizza and ordering it in Spanish to Pakistan and Afghanistan, and actually what's happening with the Taliban, the deals that have been cut with the Taliban, for our ultimate removal and the Taliban joining the other side in Afghanistan, which I don't think will completely happen, but okay, they're having conversations about it. General John Allen, though, is also quick to say, yes, people are talking about the Taliban, but let's not rush to any kind of judgment here. Check it out.
In the wake of this historic NATO summit, as the Taliban see that their time grows short, they can choose to be part of the prosperous future of Afghanistan, but they can never prevail through the use of violence and intimidation.
All right, so would you 100% trust that the Taliban wouldn't use intimidation or violence? Think about the minerals that are still in Afghanistan that haven't been tapped out yet. And once there's a move to get to those minerals, I think you'll see a lot of things open up in that country. And where will we be? Will the troops be completely out 2014? And then what does it mean for the private contractors that are still there? What does it mean for everybody who's trying to help the troops and help the police force get going? Because we're paying for that, $5 billion to $6 billion. There's your big, big question mark. This past week, and actually last Friday when Facebook did its initial public offering, that's been all the rage. Everybody's talking about Facebook and is it going to tank the California economy and what happened, how come it rocked the market the way it did, and what was the problem with the NASDAQ and blah, 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 on and on. Well, our man Saul Albaum in Oslo, Norway, because he picked up his crowns and he went to Norway and married a lovely woman there. So he now makes his home in Norway. He is the financial man for America Tonight. He did some great work on some of the things that we're talking about financially, that we've been talking about, actually, including, you know, what happened in Greece and what does that mean for the rest of Europe. We're teetering, we're waiting with bated breath to see just how bad this is going to be. And, you know, not to predict doom and gloom, but it's right in front of us. It couldn't be more obvious that we're seeing what's going on with the Eurozone and how we are tied to it somewhat, how it affects all of us. So Saul will be along to chat about that. Then coming up at the tail end of the hour, oh, if you have a little Fido, watch out, because here we go again with tainted food from China. Like 900 treats they're talking about. Treats that you might be giving your little dog or big dog or whatnot. But so far, the treats have killed almost 1,000 dogs. Oh, awful. Coming up next, going to Norway. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, Jason Lewis here. Anybody who's been listening to my program knows how shaky the U.S. economy is right now. Will we have a V-shaped recovery, or will it be a W-shaped one where the nation slips back into recession? Of course, if you think that Washington can spend or inflate its way out of a downturn, you've got nothing to worry about. But as you know, I have my doubts. So let me tell you about gold. Now, as my friend Ted Anderson from Midas Resources likes to say, gold, like all commodity markets, fluctuates in price and you could lose money, but it has never been worth zero. Give it some thought, and if you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to actually have it in your possession, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. The U.S. dollar was once backed by gold, but has since lost 90% of its value. And if things don't change, I'm afraid the trend will continue. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237 for gold and tell them Jason Lewis sent you.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Talk to our man, Saul Alvin. He does great work for us here on America Tonight, digging up a lot of information that you'll find so, so useful. We're going to start to post it on the website for you, too. Saul, how is life in Norway?
Kate, it is a beautiful day here. The greens really come out, and the flowers are blooming. You can smell like sweetness in the air, and it's and the foul smell of default is long, long away from here.
I like the way you put that, my friend. So let's start off with the story everybody's talking about, even if they don't understand it. Facebook. What happened to Facebook when it IPO'd last Friday, from Friday to now?
Well, they screwed it up. The analysts cut their equivalent guidance, and stock, last I checked, was down, 25% from its IPO.
Yeah.
So there's a reason why last time I didn't talk about Facebook going public, Kate. Then there's a reason why I never brought it up in the first place, and that is you don't want to buy what the smartest guys in the world are selling. And those guys are the venture capital and the private equity. And those guys have the inside information on when to get out of Facebook. So they're seeing a what's called a deceleration of earnings and profits, and they want to get out and make their money. So they're getting out at the peak. The second is, what happened is Goldman and all these guys got a great deal for Facebook. They got the highest possible price of going public, and everyone else who bought in at the IPO price got smashed. It was, in my opinion, it was overvalued. It's funny, Mrs. Album asked me if we should have got in on Facebook, and I was, I just didn't like the valuation, and we could talk about that more later. And then on a more serious note, the regulatory issues, and this is kind of really complicated and hard to explain for radio, but the bottom line is when a company makes an announcement, it needs to be able to tell everybody at the same time. It's called Regulation FD, or Fair Disclosure. It used to be that if you were a public company, you would have a few of the rich boys in the back room. Of course, they'd all be rich white WASPs and all in New York. And you would disclose, yeah, we're going to have a great quarter, a bad quarter, and, you know, and all your little buddies would make a lot of money. Well, Regulation Fair Disclosure came out a while ago and said if you're going to make material news, you have to put it out in a press release. Remember back when we used to work together, the press release racket?
Yes.
From Market News First. Okay, that's a consequence of Regulation FD. So basically, Facebook may have broke the rules along with the investment banks when they all simultaneously lowered their quote unquote guidance or their earnings. Oh, what they thought that Facebook was going to do, and they all lowered it by like 1% exactly, all together, all at once. So something's fishy was going on there. Now, whether it was intended, whether it was a mistake is unknown, but the guys who are now suing them got a huge judgment, $7 billion judgment out of Enron. So, you know, there may be some blood in the water there. So it was just a really messy deal. It looks like amateur hour. They didn't do it right. And then the NASDAQ screwed up on trades. And bottom line for your viewers, why I never talked about it, wasn't because of these issues, was because it was just too darn expensive. You know, Apple's trading for a lot better earnings than Facebook is, even though Facebook has a big opportunity. We can talk about that more later, too, or more if you like.
Yeah, when you say Facebook has a big opportunity, it's all about when you get in, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The money is made when you get in, not so much when you get out.
Right.
Just like in real estate, sure.
Yeah, so you have to get in at the right time. So you're not saying, hey, never get Facebook, but you just have to wait to see, I guess, even where the price settles since it's dipped so much.
Yeah. Last I checked, it was, like I said, it was down 25%. It was like $33 a share last I saw. I can punch it up right now. But basically, now it's starting to come back where it would be a fair price. Yeah, $32 even. It debuted at like $42 or $45 a share. Basically, what it means is they had $1 billion of earnings, profits, okay? And they were trading, the whole value, the company was valued at $100 billion, which is 100 times earnings. And I sent you this little presentation, Kate. If you mm-hmm. compare that to Apple, Apple's trading at 16 times earnings. Now, what does that mean for your listeners? What that means is at current profits, it would take 100 years to get paid back on Facebook. And 13 times. 13 times. Apple's 13 times. So 13 years on Apple. So now, granted, there's going to be growth. Dude, there's going to be growth. So maybe in a couple of years it'll be only take 40 years because you're getting more and more profits. But it's really a lot. It's a lot to pay for that. 40 times to get a payback of 100 years or 40 years is not the kind of investment I'd be looking for.
No, I agree with you. We've talked about Japan a lot. What's going on with Japan? You say Japan's going to implode.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so you remember, Kate, about 2-3 years ago, we started talking about Japan on ATN, right?
Right, right.
And, well, guess who started talking about Japan in April, just about 30 days ago? Well, Harvard Business School. Harvard, I don't know if your listeners know the way they educate their MBA students, their master's in business students, is they do the case study method. Well, they finally got around to it. They must have been listening to America Tonight. They finally got around to it and put together a case study on Japan. All these things that I've been screaming about, I think I did talk about them a couple months ago, too, Japan, too, when we talked about their five financial ministers in 4 years.
Yeah.
And, Kate, if you got a chance to check out that chart, mm-hmm. I can go over just a few of these statistics. God, I sound like a professor already. It's not what I wanted.
Yes, let's look at the chart, everybody. The chart says
on radio, right?
Yes.
Well, I was hoping to get your reaction.
Where you're talking about comparing it to other countries.
That's right. So yeah. If we look on, everyone's complaining about our debt, United States debt. And we're at about, congratulations to the listeners out there. By the way, I want to congratulate them again. You guys have now reached 103% of debt to gross domestic product. But you guys are amateurs compared to Greece at about 140, and Japan now at 130% of gross domestic debt to gross domestic product. So we can give them a round of applause. And I'm waiting for your...
my studio audience.
Yeah,
right. There you go.
Okay, so,
yeah.
That's the kind of applause I should get every time I come on stage.
Yeah, right.
Or that's the kind of, actually, everyone listening, that's the kind of applause Kate gets whenever she leaves, steps out of the door, and whenever she goes to the shopping mall. I mean, it's
sure,
it's
absolutely.
Crazy.
So,
go ahead, Kate.
So Japan. So it's interesting. This is all playing out as you said on the show, like you mentioned a couple of years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and again, a reason why I didn't make a recommendation on it, and we'll get to that in a second. But basically, next chart over, and you know, everyone listening can go to ATN. Kate, you have full permission to distribute this and do whatever you want with it.
I will.
My name,
yeah.
I didn't put my name on it, so do whatever.
We'll give you credit. Don't worry.
Okay. Very good. So Japan, and we have all the charts here for everyone to listen. You can go to ATN and check it out. Japan is actually now paying some of the lowest interest rates in the world because their citizens feel a patriotic duty to buy their debt. You know how our debt, we're owned by the Chinese, right?
Right.
And everyone keeps on buying our debt. Well, nobody's buying the Japanese debt. It's about 95% owned by the Japanese public or their banks or their pension funds. So they're allowed to get away with only paying about a 1% to 2% on their debt. It would be like everyone listening had really low interest rate credit cards, okay? Maybe only 5 or 6%, where everyone else is paying 12 or 18 or 24.
Mm-hmm.
Now, imagine, I want everyone else to listen out there, everyone in credit card debt now, with, again, it's kind of getting by and doing okay. What if I doubled your interest rate on your credit card debt tomorrow?
Oh, we would revolt. Are you kidding? Saul, stay with us. When we come back on the flip side, we're going to talk a little bit more about that and a few other things, too. Especially, we haven't really said much about Greece. We'll get into that as well. So hang through with us. More with Saul Album next on America Tonight.
We take a lot for granted. Lights, water, even food we eat. But what if these things went away? Would you know how to protect your family in a natural or man-made disaster? Would you know how to survive? When disaster hits, power and water are gone and the mobs go crazy grabbing food off the shelves, you and your family may be waiting in long lines for help. Don't be helpless. Learn the secrets to survival at 123survivalplan.com. Do you know the 37 crucial food items you can't live without? Many people don't have these food items. Learn what you need to hoard at 123survivalplan.com. Recently, over 1 million people have viewed the video at 123survivalplan.com. These survival secrets are vital. The government suggests we maintain an emergency supply of food and water. But do you know the 37 food items that will fly off grocery shelves or a simple way to treat unsafe drinking water? This information is critical. Find it now on 123survivalplan.com. Don't take your family's safety for granted. Visit 123survivalplan.com. That's 123survivalplan.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled T-E-R-A-G-A-N-I-X.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.
Attention, mindless criminals, thugs, and thieves. Go ahead, break a leg. American homeowners are fed up with your door kick-ins and forced entries. We now dare you to try your boot against any door reinforced with the Door Sentinel. The Door Sentinel pack includes a steel door jam plate with 3.5-inch screws, a lock shield, and hinge shields. The Door Sentinel installs in minutes, securing any front, side, or back doors, even French doors. Criminals, be forewarned, your lake will break before the Door Sentinel will budge. Even if you have an alarm system, back it up with the Door Sentinel. Basic products starting under $20. Order your Door Sentinel today for your home, garage, or any building you own or rent at MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com or call 678-648-6757. That's 678-648-6757. Get your peace of mind back with Door Sentinel. The Door Sentinel. Always on guard.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Besides, after 70 years, it's what you go to them for, is to unlock the door. All around him, Christmas signs and sleep. And through a fractal on a breaking wall, I see you, my friend, and touch your face again.
All right, we're back with Saul Album, who joins us from Oslo, Norway. Saul, we were talking about, you gave us the great analogy. You were talking about, imagine if your credit cards were, what'd you say, 4 or 5%. There'd be a revolt, the rest of us paying however much, whether it's 12% or 13%. Are you kidding? There'd be war in the streets.
Yeah. And, yeah, if you had low interest rate and I doubled it or I tripled it, you know, your listeners would really be in trouble. And that's the issue that Japan is facing, is that if your listeners are were paying 20% of their full income in interest to their credit card, and I doubled or tripled it, they would be out of house and home. They wouldn't be able to eat. And that's the problem that Japan is facing right now, is that they're paying only 1%, maybe 2% on some cases, for their credit card debt. And eventually the world is going to catch on, and they're going to have to go to international creditors. Their social security system won't be able to handle it. Their population has already started to decline, Kate. They already are starting to have more and more folks over the age of 65. Okay, in Japan, 35% of folks in Japan are over the age of 65.
Wow.
They built their society that's not sustainable. So there's going to be a huge reckoning. Now, how do we play this? A lot of folks are going to do the widowmaker trade, where they try to profit from the Japanese bonds having problems and defaulting like in Greece, but I don't think that's going to happen, at least for a long while, is they're going to print the money. They're going to do the same thing that our Federal Reserve does and the same thing Greece is going to have to do, you and I would do if we had printing presses.
Yeah, exactly.
which you know, if you want to go buy that Lamborghini or Ferrari, okay, just works another day. But for the rest of us, we have to work. But the rest of us, for the rest of these countries, they just go print the money. And as politicians, it's too easy to do something. They don't have to raise taxes. They just stealthily print the money. The Federal Reserve calls it QE or twist or all these different names. So that's what we're going to see. So a good way to take advantage over the long run is you're going to see a rise in the stock markets and the Nikkei. And then you'll see a crack up. It's called a crack up boom. So you'll crack up, and then we'll have these problems, and then it'll be big inflationary bust. And that's what I'm saying. But we have some time, so your listeners out there will have time to take a look and when to get in. And it's just not yet. Of course, we're still going to be talking about it. Once the focus starts moving over to Japan, just like the laser focus was on Greece for a year or two, then it kind of moved over to Italy, now Spain. So we still have time to save up and purchase little bits here and there.
Yeah, there you go. I thought an interesting piece that you sent me was we talk about unemployment, and you say for the first time the majority of U.S. unemployed, is this right, Saul, have some college education?
Yes, that's right. There's 9 million that were put out of unemployed in April, okay, and 4.7 had gone to college or graduated. And 4.3 had not. So in the first month, this is the first month that's ever happened. It was better to be a lowly blue collar worker than to be college educated. And to add insult to injury, Kate, remember that only 30%, or depending on how you what statistic you read, or 28% of folks have gone to college or have a college degree. So that really magnifies it. So if only 28-30% of your population has gone to college and the majority of them were unemployed in April, well, what does that say about your education system?
Yeah, and, what does that say? Yeah, you're right.
Okay, so it's a case that we've been hammering here on ATN too, which is the whole education college system's got to be reformed. Another good note is another congratulations out to Americans is now officially there's 100 million folks in the United States without jobs. So we've now hit the record of unemployment in our brand new I don't want to get political, but our brand new, 2012 recovery. So another congratulations. So again, things are still tough out there, and I'll be really interested to see how your listeners are getting by, Kate, with Willis, and see if they're seeing any type of recovery or if it's still tough for them.
Yeah, I think it's tough for a lot of people. I think it's very, very, very tough. And another thing that you threw just for fun out to me, and I thought this was interesting, is who is the world's richest woman now?
Yeah, so it's not Kate, everyone, believe it or not.
Hardly.
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay, and it's certainly not Mrs. Album, which she wishes was. No, she doesn't wish was the case. Okay, anyway, but Gina Rinehart. It turns out that mining is actually pretty profitable, just basic producing stuff out of the ground, right? Oh, this fancy Facebook stuff. She's worth more than the Facebook founder and is clocking up now at $29.7 billion, new richest woman, takes over from, the Walmart heiress, which was Christy Walton. And it goes to show you that money maybe doesn't exactly buy happiness, Kate, because she's being sued by, like, an army of folks trying to take over. So her children are suing her, and actually the native people of Australia are suing her, too, for more royalties. So she's apparently $29.7 billion, still won't get your kids to like you.
I like that. Still won't get your kids to like you. Boy, $29.7 billion. That's crazy. That is an amazing amount of money. And like you said, money, though, doesn't matter because look at the problems that she's having.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. That's right. So, you know, maybe lesson learned is if you do get all that money, maybe, you know, spread it a little bit or
exactly.
Spread it better. I don't know. Have kids that don't sue you.
No kidding. I like that. Have kids that don't sue you. Saul, you were terrific. Thanks so much for coming on again and talking about all these things, mixing it up with us in a couple of different directions when it comes to numbers. And we'll just wait and see what happens to Facebook. Who knows? Maybe it falls through the floor next week.
yeah. And, Kate, thanks. It's real quick. You know, I own a small social network, and it's just so hard to make money from social networks. You know, you people out there, never click on the Facebook ads. You know, it's just
never.
You don't click on my ads either, on my social network. So that's one of the reasons why it's we're not sure how Facebook is going to make all that money and all that growth. People don't click on the ads. We don't understand. It's like when the Internet came out 10, 15 years ago with eyeballs. How do you value that? How do you value the people clicking and checking in and showing their likes? We don't know exactly yet. So maybe they're sitting on a huge gold mine, but that remains to be seen.
Yeah, absolutely. So thanks. Say hi to your wife for us, and we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
You got it, Kate. Bye-bye.
All right, interesting stuff from Saul Album, talking about everything from Facebook, and he's right, he never recommended it. It's down 25%, and a lot of people were downplaying Facebook, and they were right about that. As Saul says, you just don't know where social networking is going to go, because how do you make the money from social networking? How do you get people to click on the ads? And ads are what make the world go round, and people, you know, buy or don't buy or whatever. And with the Internet, it's still the Wild West in a sense. So tagged at 38 down to 34. Who knows if it goes lower or not. But down 25% in less than a week. That's absolutely incredible. Mark Zuckerberg, the guy behind Facebook, sold 30.2 million shares. His price was $37.58, and the money he made, $1.13 billion. Oh, my, oh, my. Again, when it comes to numbers like that, it's almost silly numbers. What are you going to do with that kind of money? And he's the guy that actually, by all accounts, isn't a huge spender. And I think the other big thing to come out of what Saul had to say, sadly, is 100 million Americans are without jobs. Out of 9 million unemployed in April, 4.7 had gone to college or graduated, and 4.3 million hadn't. And that's the seasonally adjusted Labor Department information. The number that I think is scary is the 100 million people that don't have jobs, can't find jobs, and that's one of the biggest numbers that we have seen. Coming up on America Tonight, we got hurricane news. I'm not happy about the hurricane news. Let's hope that it doesn't come closer to us, and, you know, where is it going to end up? I'll give you all the specifics in a minute. I'll give you the coordinates of Hurricane Bud on the flip side.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you have the amazing LifeStraw from MyPatriotSupply.com. LifeStraw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. LifeStraw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. LifeStraw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing LifeStraw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault. 20 seed varieties for only $37.95. Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
I'm Chiquita Banana, and I've come to say bananas have to ripen in a certain way. And when they're flecked with brown and have a golden hue, bananas taste the best and are the best for you. You can put them in a salad. No, not yet, my dear. That greenish way you're looking means that you are ripe for cooking.
How about me?
No, no. When you are fully ripe, my dear, those little flecks of brown appear.
Me?
You're most digestible, my friend. Delicious too, from end to end.
I like to call this segment Fruits and Nuts.
You can put them in.
Well, you can almost just listen to that song, couldn't you, all the way through? It is pretty funny. It's one from the vault. Thanks to Donovan Madsen for digging that one up. I still get a chuckle whenever we play that occasionally. All right, so here's the scoop. Fruits and nuts means exactly that. Something that that seems a little odd, a little off, a little crazy, a little stupid in some cases. And we kind of have a mixture of all of that this time around. When I say a little stupid, who is putting a baby in a washer at a laundry? Who is thinking this is what we do? This is the way to clean the baby. Why not? Sure. Put that baby in the washer. And sadly, this happens in New Jersey. So I know, hold your New Jersey jokes. But it was in Camden County. This is what the deal was. A babysitter and her acquaintance, they're saying we're not criminally liable for their decision. And the decision wasn't an intelligent one. That's what the prosecutor's office says by putting a baby in a washing machine. But it wasn't a crime. Here's the thing. When they did it, it was captured on the store's security camera. And, of course, now it's gone viral. You can find it anywhere. You see a guy putting a kid, baby, inside the machine and shutting the door, which locked. The washer began its cycle with the baby inside. Then the two of them panicked and tugged at the door, unable to open it until somebody unplugged the machine. So the baby suffered minor injuries. What? This is how you give a baby a bath? Really? You gotta be kidding me. You have to be kidding. Like I said, there's no accounting for what people sometimes do, and they say that that's what they were trying to do. They were trying to wash the baby, and they figured that was the way to do it. They weren't trying to kill the baby, and that's why they got off in a sense. They weren't held criminally negligent for what had happened there. All right, this is kind of a fruity, strange thing. Although the man in the outhouse, I don't think, could really control what happened to him. But I'm going to put this under fruits and nuts anyway. Imagine the old jokes about the bears and the outhouse. This really happened. A man on a camping trip survived, and it is the word survive, an outhouse bear attack. He is a 65-year-old Canadian man, and his name is Gordon Chervell from Winnipeg. He said he was doing his business, so to speak, when a black bear barged in and attacked him, leaving him with scratches and a head puncture wound before his friend shot the bear. He and his friend were on a camping trip and a fishing trip. They were about 37 miles north of Sioux Lookout, Ontario, when the bear happened upon them. And he said he tried to do what he could. He tried to keep kicking the bear away. But now this is descriptive. He said that the bear was grabbing at his pants that were around his ankles, and then that was the start of it. Oh, my. The bear, he's lucky. The bear got a hold of him by the right shoulder and dragged him out of the outhouse toward the bush. And he was screaming, and that's when his friend came out and shot him. So he had scratches, and that's it, just scratches. He had scratches on his head, neck, and arms. He did have a puncture in the back of his head. Oh, that is creepy. I guarantee it'll be a very long time before he goes on any kind of a camping trip where he's in an outhouse. I mean, being attacked on the throne, oh, that takes the cake. Plus, I mean, you're fighting for your life. Now it's like one of those bear stories you live to talk about, but it had to be pretty freaky when it was unfolding at the time. And luckily his friend thought quickly and was able to shoot the bear. This is a strange story. A Chinese boy took what they're calling the ride of his young life. The 3-year-old was being watched by his grandfather. He decided he wanted to see his mother, who worked at a KFC restaurant. So 3 years old, he waited till his grandfather had gone to the bathroom. Here we go with the bathroom thing again. Then he set off through the streets on a toy motorcycle. It was a gift from a relative who left the battery out of the bike, but the boy's grandfather installed the battery. So the kid rode 1.3 miles before he got to a major traffic intersection. Without pausing, he zipped into the middle of the intersection, avoiding buses and other cars. And a traffic police officer spotted him weaving through the cars and gestured toward him to stop the bike, then pushed him, you know, escorted him to the side of the road. But the kid, he's 3. He didn't know his family's phone number. He didn't, you know, they had a hard time trying to track him down. His grandfather was hysterical at this point because the parents work and he was watching him. And he was frantically running through the streets looking for the kid, and eventually came across him. The boy, when he was asked whether he was scared at any point, said no, he wasn't scared at all. That's the folly of youth. Even if you're only 3, imagine how crowded, in the crowded streets, he's driving on a toy, a little toy motorcycle, right through a major intersection. This is in Wangzhou. Unbelievable that he did that and didn't even bat an eye. If I were driving, and you see the way people drive, especially in these tight, crowded areas, I would probably feel a little, I'd feel a little nervous. But this kid, nothing. Just fearless. Fearless. And I love that the cop kind of sees him from afar. Oh, let's pull him aside. Can you imagine if that happened in the United States? Like, pick any busy intersection, maybe even in your hometown, and imagine a little, I mean, three is small, a three-year-old going through one of the busier spots in your hometown. How many people would, I think people would try to stop them. I think people would try to get out of cars if they could, but maybe they wouldn't be able to do that, too. It depends on the circumstances and if they, you know, noticed him or not. We seem to have, and this isn't on purpose, kind of a bathroom thing here, but in Beijing, the public restrooms in Beijing have decided they have a two-fly rule. And in Beijing, the public restrooms must contain no more than two flies per stall. It's a bizarre new directive that's been issued to washroom attendants. The Beijing Municipal Commission of City Administration and Environment issued the rule at the beginning of the week as what they call a new standard for public toilet management. And so the official in charge of the initiative says that this is a new benchmark to improve the capital's notoriously unpleasant public restrooms. How do you enforce the two-fly rule? So do they visit the restrooms and count the number of insects that are in the stalls? How do they figure this out? How do, the regulation is very specific, but how do you enforce it? How many flies do we have in here? Let's see. Let's see if we can hear them buzzing around. Maybe they come in with a video cam and they just film the restrooms. Wow. Seems crazy to me. I understand why they're doing it because they have terrible restrooms. But a two fly per stall thing, I guess the people that are working there, the attendants, are going to have to just carry around fly swatters and hit everything that moves except for the people.